Whoever is under the influence of Supreme Kala, eternal time, must surrender his most dear life. What to speak of other things such as wealth, honor, children, land, and home. Purport. A great Indian scientist, busy in plan-making business, was suddenly called by invincible eternal time while going to attend a very important meeting of the Planning Commission. He had to surrender his life, wife, children, house, land, wealth, etc. During the political upsurge in India, its division into Pakistan and Hindustan, so many rich and influential Indians had to surrender life, property, honor, due to the influence of time. And there are hundreds and thousands of examples like that all over the world, all over the universe, which are all effects of the influence of time. Therefore, the conclusion is that there is no powerful living being within the universe who can overcome the influence of time. Many poets have written verses lamenting the influence of time. Many devastations have taken place over the universes due to the influence of time, and no one could check them by any means. Even in our daily life, so many things come and go in which we have no hand, but we have to suffer or tolerate them without remedial measure. That is the result of time. Umagana timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakturin militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chitanya manobhishtam stapitam jena bhutale vayam rupakadamayam dadati sabadantika shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hey Guru Ganadadi Nabando Sananda Data, Karanaika Sindhu, Sundavana Sin Hetavatara, Pasida Radha Pranaya Pachara. Yena Chaivabi Panoyam. Pranara Priyatama Rapi Jana Sadyo Vyujeta Kimutanya Janaribi. So, just now, before this, 20 minutes ago, my mother called and said one of her old friends was hit by a truck. Kind of appropriate message right before my class on this verse. And I guess that lady was older than my mom. She had to be 88 plus, and she was dodging traffic. She lived on Broadway for the last so many decades in Manhattan, and she was just used to going across the street and was in really good shape, 88, 89 years old, and she caught up with her, I guess, and she got hit by a truck. So the conversation is going on between Vidura and he's speaking specifically aimed at Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra was very attached to his sons. You can see even in the 10th canon that Krishna had sent a Krura to speak with Dhritarashtra. He said, I understand that Dhritarashtra is very attached to his wicked son, especially his one son, but all of his sons, to the exclusion. To the exclusion of the Pandavas, and Krishna predicted, more or less, that he wouldn't ever be able to, hardly ever be able to give up his attachment to his wicked sons. I think they were called Dushpraja. Dushpraja, Krishna called them wicked praja. So what to speak with, if one has, he was attached to these guys, and Duryodhana especially, and Krishna's calling them Dushpraja. And he also, when he told Akrura what exactly you should tell him at that time, that he would have to give up this attachment that was completely unfair, that he's supposed to be the guardian of the Pandavas as well, and their well-wisher, but he wasn't acting in that way at all. He was favoring his sons. Dustarnava. So, aside from all that, Krishna warning him himself through via the Akrura's messages, he's still very attached. But due to the mercy of Vidura, Mahadvachalinam Rinam, Grihinam Dinache Tisam, even Nanda Maharaj, when he received Gargacharya, he understood that Gargacharya was a hoaxaja. He received him very wonderfully. It's mentioned also in 10th Canto. And probably several times referred to this verse, Mahadvachalinam Rinam, Grihinam Dinachetasam. Nanda Maharaj referred to himself also as Dinachetasam, as a lowly householder, very attached. And the wanderings of such great persons as Gargacharya, as out of pure mercy, for those who were fallen in this consciousness of household life. And Bhagavatam does a very good job of smashing our attachment to it. Bhagavatam is our media, our message, our only shelter. We read, we hear Prahlad Maharaj speaking with his schoolmates, even though they're only 5 years old. He's telling them, Kogriheshu Puman Saktam Atmanam Ajitendriyam. A similar message. I mean, these guys were only like kids, but still he was telling them, Komara, even though you're Komara, little boys, Achara Pragya Dharma Bhagavataniha, you have to take to the Bhagavatam. Durabham Manasham Janma. Your birth is flickering, Durabham. It's very hard to get. So Durabham Idam Bahusambhavante. You only have to many births. Bahusambhavante. Does one get a human form of life like this? Bahusambhavante after so long. So therefore, Prahlad was speaking to them during the tiffin hour, lunchtime, basically. And Sandana Marka and Hrinyakashipu, they were mystified. How did he learn this stuff? There must be some Vaishnav there. Only Vaishnavas speak this type of nonsense, you know. We should find them and kill them, whoever they are. This is a very, very bad influence. Because this is the mentality, that Hrinyakashipu mentality. Friends, enemies. Whereas the Vaishnav, he wants to see everyone as Priya. But those who are too attached, Kogriheshu Puman Saktam Atmanam Ajitendriya, whose senses are uncontrolled, then they find always, everywhere they find enemies. Ajitendriya. They can never be satisfied. Ajitendriya is described also by Vaman Maharaj, Vaman Dave, in his speaking with Bali Maharaj, that he says, those who are Jitendriya, Trilokyam Ajitendriya, Yavanta Vishaya Prest. Nothing can please them. Priya means to please. But nothing can actually please someone whose senses are totally out of control. Trilokyam. Even if Vamanadeva, Trilokyam. Even if I get the three worlds, I will not be satisfied. Kimit. How can these things satisfy anyone who's out of control? His senses are like wives. Prahlad Maharaj describes that Shashnonyatas Tadugaram, that one side, your sense of smell, one side, the sexual sense, your ears, tongue, taste. Jivai Karshati Mahavi Tripta, never satisfied. Jivai Karshati Mahavi Tripta. And therefore, the attached householder like Dhritarashtra or any of us are just like a man with six wives. Of course, many kings had many more than six wives. But six wives, Prabhupada said, then they're all waiting. They all want some attention, always. So you cannot get out. This is Gehadatim, the happiness of the household life. And Dhritarashtra was, although blind, but still he was so attached. He was so foolish. So these things are so dear, dearer than life itself, Prabhupada says. He gives his translation with Prahlad Maharaj's preaching that the Taskarasya, the thief, and the merchant, Banik, the thieves, the merchants, and the soldiers who prey on people for money, just like you see these cops now in the news, they're being paid. They don't care. You know, okay, they work themselves into it. That very same guy could have been his friend in the army 2 weeks ago because he's paid. He'll go after him and shoot him. Doesn't matter. They're protesting free country. They're fighting for the free country. The country's not free. It's a bunch of whatever. But they're paid. And the Banik probably gives the extreme example. The man goes under the ocean to look for pearls, and sometimes they drown there or they hold their breath or something like that. So they're so dear, more dear than life itself, more dear. Money. Kotrishnam visarje pranebyopi aipchitaha. Pranebyopi, more money, sweeter than honey. Some devotees took that literally, of course. This foolishness, of course. But there, Prahlad is saying that this desire for wealth and fame, adoration, and dhanam, janam, is described here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundanim kavitam ba jagadisha. Mama janmini jamani shvade bhavatad bhakti. How do we counteract it? By taking up the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not that easy, but we have to take it up. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. He says, I don't care for any of this wealth or janam. These things are mentioned right here in this verse. Jana sadyo vyujeta kim. What to speak of your wealth? Your life, here, whoever is under the influence of this supreme kala, chaiva bipano yam, kala kalyatam aham, mrityu sarvahas chasmi, kala, death. I'm seeing that your eternal time, manye tam kalami shanam anadi nidanam vibhum, that verse by Kunti Devi that we already heard several months ago already, but always reminds me of asking Gopi Pranadana about that, because he was memorizing the whole Bhagavatam back in 75, and I think the end of 75, 6, about that time, I asked him, he had memorized the he had memorized the Brahma Samhita. I think one day he told me, I'm memorizing Brahma Samhita. So after a couple of days, I said, so how are you doing with the Brahma Samhita? And he said, oh, I finished it. Now I'm doing first canto. I said, you finished? You did the Govinda prayers? He said, no, I finished the whole thing. It was like 3 days. I said, how long? 3 days. Huh, okay. Then he was memorizing first canto, first chapter, second chapter, like that, till, I don't know, third canto. I don't know how far he went. So you have to go back? He said, no, I don't go back. Most of us have to go back. What to speak of go back? People don't even start memorizing it. But he was didn't even have to go back. So that's Gopi Pranadana. So a few devotees like that, a few persons can do like that. But manye tam kalami shanamanadi nidam vibhum samam chanantam sarvatra bhutanam yamitakali. I think that your eternal time and... So what is that time? The time can be seen in many aspects. It's described in the Bhagavatam, nityo namitikas chaiva, that it's nityo, permanent, namitikas, this the destructive tendency is sometimes occasional. Laya, it is elemental. And adyantika, final, finished, everything is done. Kalina gatir idrishi. This is the way of time, that people are coming into this world fighting for no reason over everything, struggling to maintain this, and a band of relatives. In the fifth canto, the forest of enjoyment is described. There's so many things described, but in every canto, the aspects of time, our attachment to the things of this world, our household, are being cut down either by Narada Muni or in the guise of Jad Bharat or Shukadeva Goswami. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, he's enjoined we shouldn't become like Kashipu. Satyang Chito Kim Kashipo Prayasara. What is the use of being like Kashipu? When we first read the Bhagavatam, we didn't know, especially we didn't know anything. None of us knew Sanskrit. None of us even had anything beyond first and second canto. But there's already Sukadev's telling us, Satyang Chito Kim Kashipo Prayasara. Don't make extra endeavor for that which can be easily had. In other words, he's saying, if there's ample flats to lie on, then why are you looking for a big upabharhanai kim? Upabharhanai means a fancy bedstead, and a kashipu, a soft cushion. Don't bother. Prabhupada used to always describe how his devotees were so selfless and so renounced. Tapa putraka, this divine. And Prabhupada could enthuse and chant Gayatri Mantra. We're praying to the Guru to enthuse us, enliven us at these aspects of devotional service. But Prabhupada, just by his will, by his pure Shakti, he could inspire so many people. Life sacrificers, he described it to those Indian reporters in 1976. We have no such life sacrificers here in India. He said, therefore, you're all suffering. You haven't taken the message of Bhagavad Gita. You should suffer 10 times worse. They wanted to know why they're suffering and in the West they're enjoying. He said, because in the West, at least they're taking up this message. And he would say, no furniture lying on the floor like that. Everyone knows how it was. Nowadays, it's a little, people join. It may not be so austere, especially in the West. Well, there's more facility, but we didn't think twice about that. So he probably was very proud that devotees could lie down on a blanket or anywhere in vans. He said, he mentioned that. Hot, cold, shitoshna, whether hot or cold, shitoshna, sukha, dukha, daha, whether one was feeling good, happy or not, miserable, then there was never any excuse. It's time to go out, Prabhu. It's time to get up in the morning. Not that, I don't feel like getting up. We see that tendency in so many places. You look around, where you go upstairs, the people are sleeping. It's japa time. When can you chant? This is the morning. How can you do anything if you don't do it in the morning? This is a time to make advancement. So these things, yena chaiva bipano yam. Whoever is under the influence of the supreme kala, tasyaiva heto prayateta kovido nalabite. That verse is there by Narada Muni instructing. What will you get? Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing. Tat prayaso na kartavyo yatayorvya param. That you cannot get anything more than you're destined to get by the supreme will of time, supreme will of your karma. When the was described also in the Bhagavatam to Barisman by Narada Muni. Narada Muni, Uktabi, the great acharyas, they come, Manavasangam Uktabi, they cut our ties with their sharp words, the sadhus, they cut, they probably was cutting our attachment very easily. And so Narada Muni was speaking there to that king and telling him, my dear king, just try to seek out that the deer. Try to understand the situation. You are like that deer in the forest. Right in front of him is a tiger. The tiger is eternal time. He will be devoured. And behind him is the hunter, his own karmic activities. That hunter, either way, he's finished at any moment. Sadhya Vyujeta, you'll have to give up everything. Therefore, you should become detached. And he presented the whole story of Paranjan And we know various analogies in that story are so amazing, it probably, unfortunately, should be getting a Nobel Prize just for writing these books. But it's so easy to forget. As long as the mind is dragging us away, once it, mayam anasvijiti karma mayam, is dragging us away from the shastra. When we give up thinking, the thinking of Krishna, and the Bhagavatam is there always to come back to. But if we give it up, then Maya is always ready here. Come on, come on, come on. Drag us away. The mind dragging us away. Yato, yato, manas chanchanam astiram, yato, yato. Step by step, time after time, we have to drag it, manas chanchanam astiram, drag it back under the control of the self. Atmanam ajitan. Rather than being ajitendriya, we have to become masters of the self. And shastravit also, because the mind will be filled with so many thoughts, but if the mind can be find its shelter in the Bhagavatam or in Bhagavad Gita, in the Shastra, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chintyatam, Chintyatam Bhaktas, Chaitanyat. He's imploring us, Krishna's Kaviraj. Sada Hridaya Kandare Spurtu Vasachinanda. He's giving us the blessing in the very beginning that the son of Mother Sachi will appear in our heart and drive away these elephantine material desires. So many prayers are there. Kama Shayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasingaya. Prahlad Maharaj is praying like that. Namaste Tejas Tejas Avi Avi Baba. Vajjanakra Vajjadangsta Kama Shayam. Randaya Randaya Tama Grasa Grasa. Drive away this ignorance. Drive it away with your blazing nails. That's how strong those material desires are, just like Dhritarashtra's. So with your nails, with your vajranaka, vajradangstra, with your teeth, he's not afraid of it, but he wants to rip them out. Kamanam hrijasang roham. When Prahlad Maharaj was offered benediction by Nrisimhadev after his father was killed, he said, varam, varam. He said, varam, you are the greatest giver of varam deva moksha namoksha, like that prayer, giver of varams. You can give any benediction, but the only benediction I want now, of course, he asked father's deliverance, but he said, Hridya Sang Raham, Kamanam Hrid, Kamanam, to drag out, rip out these any material desire that's left. Kamanam Hridya Sang Raham, Vinatas Te Varam, Varam. This is what the devotee is praying for. So whatever attachment is there, wealth, honor, children, land, home, we all have it. Prabhupada's giving these examples because they were at hand when he was writing these purports. But we've seen division into Pakistan, and Prabhupada talks about at the end, the bodies were lying there in the street. One didn't notice anymore whether they were Hindu or they were Pakistani or Hindu or Muslim. But simply the bodies have to be removed and buried or burned or something has to be done. Therefore, the conclusion that there's no powerful living being in the universe who can overcome the influence of time, except, as Rupa Goswami says, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, in the beginning of Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, and Prabhupada quotes these things. In fact, Prabhupada he has done part of the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. And Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu Paributa Kala Jala. Bhya bhakti makaram mukti narikam namasyami. He's offering respects, Rupa Goswami, in the very fourth verse, in the ocean of bhakti, rasamrita, of nectar, of relation with Krishna, that the devotees, paributa kala jala bhya, the network, kala jala, of time, they're able to conquer it. But all the only ones. Paributa Kala Jala Bhya. How do they do it? Bhakti Makaran Muktinadikam Namasyami. Bhakti Makaran. They're like these sharks swimming in the great ocean. Those fish in the rivers, they have no idea even of the ocean because they're river. fish. These are like the rivers of liberation or the rivers of karma and gyan. Devotee has no interest in it. And further, he prays that this ocean, which is unfathomable, this ocean of bhakti, that without any difficulty it will silence the flaming tongues, mimamsakas, those who are after sense gratification, just like Krishna was speaking during the Govardhan Leela about this, those who karma mimamsa, mimamsakas, specifically mentioned by Rupa Goswami, whether they're in the form of Gyanis, Karmis, but they always want to say, they all want to enjoy, they want to speculate something. So this ocean of bhakti that will silence these little volcanoes, where he specifically uses a word that describes flaming tongue, that there's a flaming volcano somewhere in the North Pole, but it has no potency. It may be flaming under the ocean, but we know there's so many anomalies nowadays. They're discovering hot flaming volcanoes erupting under the ocean. Rupa Goswami knew of this already. This is already known in the Shastra. So he says like that, although these volcanic eruptions are going off, but no one notices them. So he's praying that this bhakti will flood the universe. Bhakti makaram narikam namasyami. He's praying like that, especially to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Ramadi Shasha. In his prayers, he's considers himself also in a very humble way, Rupa Goswami. Hridyasya praranaya pravarti toham varaka rupopi. He says, Rupa is a varaka, foolish. So if Rupa Goswami can consider himself foolish, there's hardly room for any of us to consider ourselves wise men or anybody. Highly questionable if anybody's a wise person, if Rupa Goswami himself is saying that he's foolish. So Prabhupada says here in this purport, even in our daily life, just like I mentioned, my mother's friend, so many things come and go. We have no hand. My mother, she mentioned it. She was upset, but she wasn't crying. She's used to seeing so many anomalies now. Even the karmis, they know these things, but somehow they're not able to put their mind into anything else. Always dwelling, like my mother, you know, this is something now she'll think about it all day. She'll lament about my daughter being in India, can't see her favorite person like that. She talks to her on the phone, which is nice. Or else, it's of course, that's better than her constantly lamenting about, you know, this person died, that person died, that person died. So this is that's going on in the Ihaiva tarjita sargo yesam samistatam mana. The verses in Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, that those who have become, who have developed equanimity in all situations, not even pure love of God, but then, yesam samishti haivatar jita sargo, they've conquered jita sargo, the conditions of birth and death. So finally, by the mercy of Vidura, then we can see that Dhritarashtra will develop. He realizes finally, yes, everything's gone. I'm a goner. So he headed out for the Himalayas. And with Vidura, these things are given here. But throughout every canto, we see how, if it's not Prahlad describing Mugdashya Balye Kaishare Kridito Yat Ivimshati, he says that when you're a young child, he's telling his schoolmates, I mean, these are five-year-old kids, and he's telling them, you're young now, you're enjoying so much, but then you're going to waste 20 years of your life doing that. Jaraya grashta dehasya. And then, jaraya grashta dehasya, vimshati. When you're old, then, jaraya, geriatric, you'll waste another 20 years. And first he says, se dam papitastama. You'll be sleeping for half your life. I mean, we don't all sleep half our life, but basically they sleep their whole life. They think they sleep for 8 hours. They say, you need more sleep, you need more sleep. You need... Even some devotees, you know, they stop coming to morning program. There's some doctor told them they need more sleep. So they accepted. After so many years, then the doctor suddenly became more important than the sadhu, sages, Prabhupada, the Sampradaya, Krishna himself. Utishtita, Jagratab, wake up. Vibhavari Shesha, wake up, chant, Bolo Hari Hari. They stop hearing, then doctor says, no, you should sleep. Then they accept that. You'll be much healthier. How can that happen? But that happens. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying like that. You waste half the time sleeping, and out of half that you have, 20 years you're old, 20 years you're young. And finally, he says, Duraparena Kamena. Whatever's left, you're simply a madman anyway. Dura, because you have so many unlimited material desires. And he enumerates all of them, describes them. And when he's speaking with his father, Hiranyakashipu says, what did you learn that's very nice? Tell me what you learned. Well, Tatsarumanye, what I've really learned, I want to tell you, the best thing I've learned is Sada Samudvigna Dhyama Sadgrahat Suravarjina Dehinam. He said, my dear father, best of the demons, Sada Samudvigna Dhyama Sadgrahat, because you're so attached to all these things, material things, you're always in anxiety. You can never be happy. Sada Samudvigna Dhyama Sadgrahat. Therefore, he said, you should immediately head for the Vanam Gato Yad Dharim Ashrayata. Take shelter in the forest. Go to the forest. Sadasama Vyama Sagrahat. So throughout Bhagavatam, Ato Grihe Kshetra Siddhapta Vittara Jana Shemohoya. Mohoyam, in illusion. We're in illusion and always in anxiety, very attached to our mundane senses and their sense objects. And Bhagavatam repeatedly attached, whether it's the forest of enjoyment, whether it's Paranjana, and the 365 days and nights, which are the soldiers of time, are destroying the serpent. The serpent is fighting with these soldiers, but these soldiers are invincible. They cannot be defeated except by swimming in the ocean of bhakti. Swimming. We had one interesting purport today where, it was yesterday or today, where Prabhupada was saying that in the 10th canto purport, how Krishna today appears in his incarnation for those who are foolish. Otherwise, he's saying that for those who are intelligent, they can simply chant. They can understand that Krishna is always here in the form of the holy name. So for those who are, he said, less intelligent, then they can meditate on these pastimes. Everyone in the material world is less intelligent anyway. So the easy way, Rijubir Yoga Margai, described by Kapila Dev, the easy way, Kevala Anandakan, to get out of all these things, Edana Jovana Putra Parijana, Kamala Dalajala, Jivana Talamala, Bajahum Hari Pada Nitire, to simply take shelter of the lotus feet, Shavanam Kirtanam Smarana Vandanam, and Tarahae Bhava Sindhure, we want to get over Sarusanga. By Sarusanga, we can surpass this horrible ocean of material attachment. It's just like a horrible Te Mahanarta Sagaram. It's Mahanarta Sagaram. It's sometimes an ocean of unwanted things. Sometimes it's an ocean of tears, an ocean of misery. It's described in another place in the Bhagavatam. Shoka Ashru Sagaram. Shoka Ashru. Ashru means tears of lamentation, of shoka, lamentation. Shoka Ashru Sagaram, the ocean of tears. Everyone is crying. Sometimes you go somewhere and they're all crying, screaming. I remember I was waiting in Montreal. It was almost intolerable, although it was mild compared to anything. But you get off the plane to transit out of the airport. They keep everyone waiting there for hours for no reason. But kids were screaming and crying. It was, nobody's even like doing anything. They're worse than anyway. They make people wait purposely or torture them or something. So that ocean of tears and misery is easily surpassable when one swims in the ocean of bhakti. Otherwise, we have to swim in some ocean, whether it's just samsara sagaram or the sankirtana sagaram, one or the other. So the more we swim in the ocean of bhakti, sankirtana, hearing and chanting, associating, then that other ocean will be far away, far away. So I can stop talking for a while and see if anyone has any comments, please. Thank you very much.
Okay, I have unmuted everybody on frequency. And if anybody's like to ask anything.
Jaya Prabhuji,
Pushkarji,
lovely class. I wanted to ask, the famous verse by Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ahanya Hani Bhutani Vikshanti Hayamalayam. At the end he says, Kimacharyam Atakvaram. What is more wonderful than this? It doesn't seem that even as devotees, chanting, hearing, it seems like somehow we're also thinking or not realizing that we're going to die, that death is coming. How can we, it's so important, how can we really deepen in a very profound way, how can we deepen our realization that death is coming for sure?
First thing that comes to my mind is, and Prabhupada mentioned it several times, how in India, he did tell us to go every year. And when was the last time you were there?
86.
Okay, you got 25 years to catch up on. But I'd say, in India, it's not hidden. I remember when I went one time, amazingly enough, this was just the day after Prabhupada left the planet, in fact. And I had to leave India because I needed to, to make a long story short, it's not that long, but basically the part about, because actually Prabhupada's disappearance is coming tomorrow, and I had to be in Delhi to, in those days, of course, you couldn't call out of Vrindavan, so I was told to stay in Delhi and receive a phone call when Prabhupada would leave the planet, and then call the West, which I did. I called Rameshwar, and then everybody knew. But meanwhile, I had to go to Kathmandu because I was illegally in India. And when I bought the ticket, I spent my last 500 rupees and had to go up there, try to get a new visa. And after I bought the ticket, I was in the American Express, and Gopal Krishna came running up the stairs saying, Prabhupada is going to leave in 6 hours. And I said, well, we thought Prabhupada might stay for 10 years. He said, no, the Kaviraj said he's going to leave in 6 hours. So even up to the last minute, we were thinking Prabhupada would stay. That's one part of the story. The other part is, so when I went to Kathmandu, I didn't get my visa. But I stayed for 4 days, and then I came back, flew back without a visa, and the guy at the airport in Patna Airport in India, in Bihar, he said, you can't come into India, you have no visa. I said, wait a minute, my guru just left the planet. What do you mean, you think I can't come here? I have to go. He said, all right, I'll give you 72 hours. I stayed for another year and a half or whatever, but not a year and a half, maybe 10 months or so. Anyway, the point getting to again was, when I was at Kathmandu, when I got out of the small airport, I didn't know where the temple was. It's not where it is now, but it was a house somewhere. But they told me it wasn't far. So I started walking and, asking around. And before I knew it, I walked about a half a mile, and I came to a burning ghat by a river. And I didn't realize where I was. And I just actually looked up. I just was walking along this area. And 3 feet in front of me, there was a dead guy, a body, and he was covered, but his feet were on the on the what do you call it, the stretcher. And just right in front of me, his feet. And then I realized, oh, this guy's getting ready to be cremated here, you know. And it was right near the Pashupati temple, which is the temple of Lord Shiva. Then I proceeded on. They told me it was near that temple. So then I could ask around. I somehow found the temple. But so just coming from the airport. So, of course, that's Nepal. But this is the kind of thing that happens. Where in the West, everything's covered over. I mean, any time, there could be a huge tragedy. I mean, like a tsunami. I mean, I hope you guys in Hawaii are ready. They say early in 2013, there's 20 million tons of tsunami trash that's going to wash up on the beaches of Hawaii. Well, 20 million tons won't hit there, but a part of it will hit. You know, there's 200,000 houses that are still floating in the ocean. Well, some have sunk, tires and every imaginable thing of Japanese civilization. And you'll get firsthand. You'll find out how beautiful those beaches are then. And hopefully it won't be so tragic, but it sounds like it's imminent. So in India, you get to see things happening like that. I mean, you get to see ecstatic things, but you get to see reality. It's covered over in the West, candy-coated. So what was the next question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I wanted to ask one question. I hope I understood right, but just correct me if I'm wrong. You mentioned that for the less intelligent is meditating on Krishna's pastimes should be...
Well, it says he appears so the less intelligent can meditate on his pastimes. Okay. I didn't really... I might not have said it right, but it's interesting that he said it because those who are less intelligent don't meditate. But if they do... I don't know. We have to read that purport again. It was interesting the way it was worded. It's, I'd have to look it up. I'm not in the mood.
Right. And then
John Mohan's on. He can find stuff like that real quick. But
I wanted to say that, you know, like Maha Mantra, I understood that pure devotees realizes that Maha Mantra and Krishna is the same, and not necessarily more intelligent ones. But anyway, I would like to know more what you meant.
Okay, I can find the purport. Let's see. Let's read it if you want. Let's see how good I am here. Let me see. Okay. All right. All right, prayers by the demigods, and it's, let's see, verse, oh, these are great verses, there's no question. All right, we're up to verse, what did we do today? Accepting lotus feet, Mahajans by simple process. We've moved up here. We did that one. Tatana Madhava Sahido Vinayanika Mudrasha Prabhu. Might have done that one. Satyam Vishudam Shrayate Bhavanstito Shadidinam Shreyopayanam Vapu Vedakriya Yoga Tapasa Madhibi. I think we did that one. Kvatvam Chidatva, we did that one. Hang on. Nanamarupe Guna Janma Karma Vira. It was today. Okay. This is verse 36. No, let me see. I could get this wrong. Okay. Big scholars think Krishna is fictitious. One can understand only those from verse. Oh my Lord, the impersonalists cannot understand. Your name is identical with your form. Since the Lord is absolute, there's no difference between his name and his actual form. The material world is a difference between mango, mango, mango. For persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge of the Supreme, Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes. This is about the fourth, fifth paragraph. Let's just say it's 1, 2, 3. Well, this is a 4-page purport, so it's hard for me to pinpoint the pages. I don't have pages. I'm just looking. But I'll read it. It just says, for persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge of the Supreme, Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes. They can simply think of the pastimes of the Lord and get the full benefit. Since there's no difference between the transcendental name and form of the Lord, there's no difference between the transcendental pastime and form of the Lord. For those who are less intelligent, like a women laborer or a mercantile, Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, Krishna is present in different activities. Mahabharata is history. Simply by studying, hearing, memorizing transcendental activities of Krishna, the less intelligent can also gradually rise to the standard of pure devotees. And then the pure devotees who are always absorbed in the thought of the transcendental lotus feet of Krishna, who are always engaged in devotional service and full Krishna consciousness, are never to be considered in the material world. Rupa Goswami has explained, those who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness by body, mind, and activities are to be considered liberated in the body. This is confirmed in the Gita. Anyway, it was an interesting the way he said that, who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
Okay, yeah, that's clear now. Thank you. Yeah. That's great.
And then he talks about the Mahabharata being
for the less intelligent.
Yeah,
it's like soap opera or something, transcendental soap opera.
I said it sounded controversial last week and over here in the class that I said it was like transcendental gossip. But then Prabhupada, then just the next day, I heard a tape lecture in New Vrindavan in 69 where Prabhupada was laughing, chuckling, saying, "Just see, he has prepared Mahabharata, but." But Narad Muni is saying it is nothing but literature of the crow. Tadvayasam Tirtham. Anyway, there's so many things. The Bhagavad Gita is the main thing. Without Bhagavad Gita and the Mahabharata, then,
Right. It's just the point that it's not necessarily more intelligent, but more pure, more advanced devotees realize that the holy name is the same as Krishna, right?
I suppose you could infer that.
Yeah, okay.
But, on the other hand, not that one doesn't think of the pastimes. You know, Sanatana Goswami says, meditation on Krishna. What is it? There's a wonderful verse, Parahashada, Namasankirtanam Varam. He says that by chanting the holy name, one gives others pleasure. But if one simply meditates on Krishna, it's only for himself. Just like Prahlad's verse, praying to Deva Muni also vimukti kama, monam charanti na vijane na pararta nishta. They don't care for anyone else. Those who are simply meditating. Of course, Prahlad is referring to the impersonalists, anyone who's after their own liberation, basically, which, according to the great Mahabhagavatas like Prabhupada and Prahlad Maharaj, that this is kind of a denouncement of the Bhajanandi. Just like Ranti Dev is saying, Antastito Yena Bhavantya Duka, I want to stay amongst all these persons who are full of misery until they are all delivered. What? I don't care for my own misery. Nakame Tam Gatimishvar Param is prayer. It's at the end of this pastime of Ranti Dev. Wonderful verse. I don't have any desire, you know, astardi yuktam, to have the 8 mystic opulences or liberation or to be in the heavenly planets. Rather, bhavantya dukam, I want to stay amongst the miserable persons and deliver them. So this is a very, you know, we don't really have that like these great persons like Vasudev Dutt.
Right.
But such great persons that when I see them suffering more, I want all their sinful activities. My heart breaks. And therefore, he's saying, put all of it on my head. Pridya More Bidare, saying, my heart is breaking. Just like Dayadra Hidya is describing that Ha Padmasuta Ha Dayadra Hidya Brashtaika Bandutama. That verse describing Nityananda, that his heart is breaking because he's Bandhuttama, the greatest of all friends. He's the son of Padmavati, Padmasutaha, Dayardra. His heart is pained, and he has with mercy. Dayardra Hidya, he's so full of mercy that his heart is breaking. So this is the mood of the pure devotees.
Right.
And Prabhupada could, he force fed us that mood, basically, you know, and because Prabhupada's not here to force feed, I mean, we have to take it up. I mean, it's there in his books and his singing and his everywhere, but when he was here, he could show the mood. We could see it completely selfless and, you know, ready to deliver all. Because deliver means he's not in Maya. You have to, you know, if your hands are tied, you can't untie people, the old story. If we're a Jitendriya and not Jitendriya, Jitendriya means the conqueror of the senses, then we just, how can we untie others? How can we throw the rope into the well? We're in the well ourselves.
Pushkar Prabhu, I'd like to make some announcements.
All right.
Well, maybe another question.
Was there anything else anyone would like to add or ask any questions?
Yes, just an instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave to go to India. Was that a general instruction for everyone, or was it for some particular devotees?
Which instructions?
You mentioned to Narahari Prabhu that Srila Prabhupada said they should go to India every year. And I was wondering whether it was an instruction for
At the time, you know, he was giving that instruction to all his disciples, I suppose. I mean, now there's other people who are not direct disciples, but I don't think – and there are certain things that are obviously just time and place. You know, if you probably said some specific thing about a particular temple, and you know. But this is, I think, a general instruction for followers of Prabhupada because – you know, you, besides making, you know, this is just one aspect that in India things are not so covered over. I'm just saying that the main idea of going there was to go to the Dham, but these things are also in the Dham. Someone dies, they go there and they burn their body. You know, people here, someone dies, they take away the body. I mean, people are dying. I mean, my neighbors died. One neighbor died. Another neighbor died. They're all devotees. Param Brahma died about 11, 12 years. And then Sundarub died a couple of years ago. I mean, I went over, I saw Param Brahma's wife called, and I was the first one to see him. He was kind of lying there with a little bit of a smile, but he'd just been reading Mahabharata the night before, and then he just died in his sleep. I didn't see Sundarup, he was in the hospital, but he didn't look like he was suffered that much, Param Brahma. Many devotees here have died, and some of them suffered more than others.
Very efficient.
Okay, I would like to thank you, Pushkar Prabhu. Before everybody leaves, I'd like to make one announcement about tomorrow, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. I had arranged for Ishvara Prabhu to do an introduction to Srihad Bhaktivinoda, but suggestion from Kundita had actually mentioned this last night, it would be more appropriate for us to do something, to especially honor Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, which I believe is a half day fast tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So we are going to do something special. We're going to plan it out, and we'll let everybody know either by email or just come tomorrow morning. And we'll do some sort of reading, bhajans or something. We'll see.
Great idea.
That's what's happening.
I second the amendment there.
Okay. Then we'll see everybody tomorrow. Pushkar Prabhu, thank you so much for your association. It is always enlivening.
Thank you, Pushkarji.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Madan, are you still on?